wouldn't be my life wouldn't be the way it is if it wasn't for my mother. My mother was a strong lady who took the responsibility to make sure that that us boys were safe, and that we knew the Lord Jesus, and that we had a personal relationship with Him. Now, I got to say that we didn't always act like we should have. We didn't always go where we should have went. But I will tell you this. It works. Mama's prayers work. Because what it put within us is the safety and stability of an eternal God that loved us even when we weren't lovable. And I think that's a challenge for us today, isn't it? As Christians, once we get to know one another, is that that we learn to know one another well enough to actually get to know their language. You know, if you were from an Australian, you'd be, or from, and actually the Australians, they kind of picked up the English brogue. European brogue, and it's kind of cute, isn't it? But when you don't hear it all the time, you have to listen very carefully in order to understand what they say. So if you want to communicate, you have to listen carefully to what somebody says if you want to understand what they say. Can I hear an amen? How many times have we just half listened to one another? How many times do you have to repeat yourself to somebody? Now, you can either look at it in one way, that maybe you're hard of hearing, or another way, that you haven't been willing to pay attention unless it fits your fancy of hearing. So have you chosen not to listen unless the interest goes your way? If you do that, you will never go very far in relationships with anybody other than yourself. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. And so when we're ministering the Word of God, I'm a different type of a pastor. I have much knowledge in me after 60 years of or more of living on the earth, but of the majority of that part, probably 50 of those years, 45 of those years, very much influenced by the Word of God. And to be able to demonstrate it, or to live it, or to bring it forth. And so, and a lot of that has to do with my mother. Isn't that cool? Now, Mom was a disciplinary, that's for sure. And one of the things she wouldn't allow us boys to do is to say we can't. And that should have been a man's position. Should have been the dad's position. And because of that, we pretty much, whatever we put our hands to, we could do. Not at first. Not just because we had the gift to do it. But because we couldn't have an excuse. Had to be done. So we became very... And we had some ingenuity about us. Whatever you want, however you want to put that into a plural sense. And in the midst of it, we came up with a lot of ideas of getting stuff done. Was it always done right? Not always. But it got done. And then through experience, and this is what you'll find out. If you're not willing to do what you can do, you'll stay where you're at. But if you'll do what you can do, you'll find out that this indwelling Spirit of God that lives in every man, that gifts every man and woman that has a breath to breathe, whether they know it, whether they have accepted Him or not as their Savior. The gifts still come from God, not from man. And strangely enough, we have taken of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Where did you think that came from? Can you tell me? Was it in the Garden of Eden?
Yes.
Who supplied the Garden of Eden with all that it had? Then where did it come from? Okay. Simple little analogy, just simple little things in which we can relate to. And so, because I really want you to get this, and I'm doing my best to get it across to you, but you have to do your best to pay attention, because too many times we get stuck because I'll say something that will bother you because I don't pronounce a syllable just right or something. Well, it's your place as parishioners to take that in and figure out what's he trying to say. Now you're listening. Well, you're supposed to. No. I'll do what I'm supposed to do, and you learn the language. Because when we communicate back and forth, when you speak, I want to pay attention enough to hear what you're saying. Because you're going to say it different than me. How do you think different words come along? How do you think our vocabulary increases? Eh? Come on. Say amen. Because it's true. It hasn't all been spoken. It hasn't all been written. It hasn't all been understood. It hasn't all been engineered. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's the giftings of God that needs to be stirred up. Glory to God. There's the giftings of God in His people in the church. Glory to God. That needs to love greater. That needs to know more of how to do it better. Glory to God. And so, and this grace thing has got me just totally excited, because I know it. Hallelujah. But honey, would you bring up the slide? Start with the first one, because I kind of like them little glasses. I found that on the internet. Just trying to illustrate something. See, a little geek here. In the Word. Can you believe it? Because believe it or not, that we must have that to go beyond. It's more than just ability. It's more than just putting things together. It's now being able to put it together in many forms so that it can be apprehended and reached to in many ways. We do it in music. We do it in art. We do it in engineering. We do it in words. We do it in sentences. We do it in mechanics. Hallelujah. But as they all begin to work together to become one, hallelujah, we have a whole different way of life, a whole different way of expression. And much easier and much faster. And this happens to be a real tool that I've had in my mind for 40 years. To be able to do this. And now we can do it so much easier because on Blackboard Net you can't see it very far. Uh, Even in drawings, you'd have to draw them so big. But now we can just put them on a screen. And what's so wonderful is God is not, we're projecting into light. Into the power of light. That doesn't have a dimension that can be stopped now. Glory to God. And so grace here. How many of you know that we're in the day of grace? How many of you know that it didn't just start in the New Testament? How many of you know that it's part of God? It just means the favor of the Lord. It means His expression, His enabling favor. So you can know something. You ever forget something? Get mad at yourself for forgetting it? Why? Because you once knew it. Come on. And we just can't bring it right up just because there's a chemical reaction in your body that actually sends off the proper electrode that will give you that intelligence. It's unbelievable how uniquely and wonderfully God has made us. And yet He has given us the insight to go into an eternal God and begin to enjoy His presence. In many ways, not just feeling only, not just being able to touch only. Believe me, do not get touchy. If you start to get touchy, touch something. Even touch yourself. Don't let this here drive you crazy. There's more to you than your brain. And if something starts to happen to it, you're in trouble. Lay hands on yourself. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In this indwelling God begins to come out of you in the same manner. That's His grace. That's His favor. That's greater than all of our situations and everything around us. It's greater. And as we experience this grace, hallelujah, let's go to... And I did pull this out of Zechariah 4 because you see, in Zechariah 4, God showed His double grace by bringing them, calling them out of their situation where the surroundings about them, their political and the religious activity, and I'm talking about God's people, I'm not talking about the world now, around them, not all the other countries that didn't know God. I'm talking about Israel as a nation that He had chosen to bear His name. But they had been so persuaded, and Zechariah is a wonderful book. It's the apocalypse of the Old Testament. It's the revelation of the Old Testament. It is a correlation to the revelation of the New Testament. And if you work them together, you'll see that they are very much in sync. Just different dimensions of growth now in the development of God in His church. At that time called Israel as a nation. And I know you can go to all the different things that you know. But the truth is, God still considered Israel as His bride. All 12 tribes. See, we have to be careful. We don't think that we are the elite of the elite. The sons of God will just be like daddy. And if they're like daddy, They'll quit trying to be elite. But they'll know their place is daddy and that he has a right to every part of the body, whether they have yet received them or not. Listen to this. And every gifting that came from him, he has a right to administer. See, just little forms and chains of commands that prove to be workable in eternity. Let's go to the seventh page there. I want to start there. And so we've dealt now, and I'm going to go back. I don't know how long the Lord's going to allow me to do this, but until He does, please be patient and take it to heart, because so far we've dealt with the personal grace of God, and that's at the cross. But how many of you know He's not on the cross? How many of you know when He went to the cross, He dealt with the cross? You don't have to keep going there. If you do, you're still there. And then we went to the fellowship, and that's the household or a church gathering of people that have become responsible to be called a church. This is New Life Christian. This is our church. This is who we are. Whether we had 2 or 20,000, this is who we are. We've come to join to become one. Very good, huh? Hallelujah. And so now I want to deal with the family of God, learning more about your ancestry. Wouldn't you like to know where you came from? Wouldn't you like to see some of your other counterparts that you never even realized that they were Japanese and Chinese and Hungarian and Romanian and Polish and French and German and Chinese and Indian and Native Indian? Come on, beloved. Black, white, yellow, brown. You know where the brown race came from? They got messing around with the white race. The black got messing around with the white race, and they ended up brown. How many believe that? How many believe it? Well, in South Africa, if you go there, it was predominantly all white. Dutch, German, English. God be in the truth. And the Africans that were there were in servitude to them. And somehow, after 400 years, probably about two to establish a race, there became what they call a brown race in South Africa. Check it out, you'll see. It's true. I'm not kidding you. And so all these different ethnic groups and all these little islands and it'd take me too long to try and think of all that there are there in South Africa and India and all the European countries and so all these, wouldn't it be nice to know them? To know them in Christ? To have a language that cuts through the barrier of culture and dialect? Language? Well, there is. And this is one of the things that the universe has never seen before. This is where Romans 8 comes in, where the whole creation is groaning and travailing in birth to be delivered from all this prejudice, and to actually have the freedom to love without question one another, no matter what we look like, where we come from, what our nationality is. And so this number three is the church universal, the bride. Also in the Bible, it is called the Christ. Let's go to Ephesians 2 and 20 and see what the crowning or the apex stone. You see, a chief cornerstone can be worked as you're turning to it. She's got it. Can be used two different ways. A chief cornerstone in building can be used as the marking of a corner in which you build your structure, no matter if it's rectangle or hexagon or whatever. You're going to have a point in which you start, line up, and build to. And at that point, your foundations are set and building begins. That's one chief cornerstone. That's the beginning of the building. At the end of construction, you have the last piece. And if it was a pyramid, it would be the chief cornerstone, or the apex stone, or the finishing stone of that construction. And we are built upon a foundation of the apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. I believe that that's the mark in which you set your boundaries in which to build. If you will do this, no matter what you choose to be, physically or intellectually, or as a father or a mother or any other way, this, as you choose this, as Jesus being the chief cornerstone and not something or somebody else. You see, people want to come to church, they want to have their little idols up there. People like to have idols. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Oh, isn't she wonderful? And they can be. And they are. But they're not your chief cornerstone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the one you come to in time of need. He's the one you're building your character from. What would he say? What would he do? How would he do it? Where would he go? Who would he see? Isn't it? Okay? Honey, give me 21. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple of the Lord. So we find out that in the midst of this building process, there is a temple. And I know you know these things, but you know, I've been thinking on them more and more. And I'm trying to encourage the temple stones to be polished so they can be set in place. Because each one of us has a different effect on one another. And each one of us has a different effect on the whole. And as each one is in its place, and as it's functioning properly, we become a greater influence as a whole. Now, you know, we've been doing pretty good because we do get people that need help every now and then, and thank God we're able to help them as much as we can. But we're doing it as a body. And so, you know, and some of you have gone through some real tribulation because you've had to do things that you've never ever had to do just to get a job. I never had to work a computer to get a job, and neither did you. You better do it today. And so we have those that will come and help. That's all part of being a body of Christ. You see? And even though it doesn't look like much, let me tell you something. When I need a job, I'd expect some of you to just step up and help me. Hey, now what am I going to do here? How am I going to get this done right so I can get the job? How am I going to fill it out competently? How am I going to be able to do it competently? I'm going to go to those that I know that can do it, aren't you? Why? Because we should. And so now we see actually an involvement of what goes on in the temple. It's not just about knowing the word only. It's about being able to know the word to a point where it's working for you now. See, you want this word working for you now. If you want healing, you want it working for you now. If you got a problem on the job, you want God in on that? How's he going to get there? That's it. And then how many of you will come together and pray? Do you know that this whole Constitution... I've got to get these books in here so you can buy them because they did cost money. The Harbinger. It's on one of the 10 bestsellers. And I guarantee you that you will not... It's not a boring book. And it will catch you in. It's written. I'm not going to say it's gospel, but I'm going to tell you this. He said that every word that he spoke was true. So if you want to know something about the truth about America and how it was founded, you'll find out that our congressmen, our presidents, our senators and that were always running into a problem, and they'd have to go to this little church that somehow stood in the midst of everything in a Holocaust in this country, right in the middle of it. They would go to that church and pray. All of them. And then you know what would happen? God would give them the answer. And they'd write it in what we call the Constitution of the United States of America. It wasn't just on opinions of public opinion at all. The answer, they had... How many of you know that the public opinion doesn't always have the answer? In fact, usually they don't. They have the question. But who's going to give them the answer? God. God. And you know how he's going to do it? Now, you know, I'm going to tell you. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm a preacher. So you're going to have to... I'm taking my time, okay? Is that all right? Hallelujah. Because I just want you to get it. But we're going to quit it at a reasonable time. Now, listen. Let's say I'm a senator. And I bring my petitions before you. And I'm representing a state. And they don't have money and stuff like that. They don't have trillions of dollars. They don't have anybody to bail them out. But if we don't take care of this, if we don't come up with an answer here, you guys, it's not going to be a state anymore. So, So we lay it down before the Lord, and we bring it out in open conversation. We lay it down before the Lord, and we're praying. What do you think we're praying? We're praying for an expectation for an answer. And so answers start to come. Some of them are valid, but they'll never do the job. You listen to me, because I've been in a lot of negotiations for many, 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 many people. And then the answer comes, and it doesn't have public approval. And this is the hardest thing about being a leader. You have to know how to initiate and follow through with that which works and is righteous, whether you have popular opinion or not. Because of its working functions, you'll find out that now it will become a law. And the law is now not to put you in bondage, but to bring things in perspective so now that there can be a workable solution now in place. With instructions now that people can abide by and agree upon. Isn't that wonderful? Now we're talking about a grace that goes now from apart from your states that make up the country of the United States of America. And if you didn't have states, you'd have regions, you'd have different in every country. You'd see that there are varieties of opinions and giftings in places that make up a country. And that make up a city. And praise the Lord, we're talking now about a church universal. I can't wait until it isn't going to be no longer you can't sing here because you don't do this or you didn't do this. You can't do this because you didn't do this. And you can't do that because you didn't go the way I wanted you to go. But when all of a sudden we have a choir of 100,000 of all different races, creeds, and everything, and everyone. Now, we'll not break rank. They will stand in their place, and they will begin to bring forth a sound. They'll begin to bring forth a word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And no one, hallelujah, will be out of sync. And when that, hallelujah, when God does this, the whole creation will be in a place of ecstatic rejoice because now unity has come to all of God's creation, men, women, boys, and girls of every creed and every color and every nation, every ethnic background. And you'll probably all say, hallelujah. My God. Jesus, help me. See, I get a little emotional. I actually believe what I read here. In whom all the buildings fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple of the Lord, where all the earth, all the sick, all those that are crying, all those that are in need, come to the church. Hallelujah. And the church, hallelujah, will address the need and it'll be met. Not a government that doesn't believe in the God that created all things. Glory to God. Let's go to Ephesians now 1. I'm probably only going to get through this slide. Ephesians 1. I just want to go back there. I want to introduce you. the church universal called the Christ. Ephesians is the one that opens it up. Mackenzie, are you with me? Okay. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus. Now you see, he was talking to a whole region here. He was talking to a church here, but it was the whole region of Ephesus. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. See, so he's actually addressing now, he's coming to a point of address where he's talking to who? To the faithful in what? Okay. To those that believe and are living Christ Jesus life. Now, you see, he didn't say Jesus Christ here. Did he? You find out, this is pretty interesting to me. We find out that the word for Christ is the word the anointed. Now, all the Israelites knew this. Yeshua HaMashiach. They all knew that there was an anointing coming. Anointing means it gives you the charisma and the ability. How many have ever said, how come this happens to him and it doesn't happen to me? Because you don't have the charisma. You don't have the anointing to do it. And the other one does. Whether he's better or not. It just happens. God graces us, see, again, with the anointing. Or his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And so, you could say, the faithful in those that are have the Holy Spirit of Christ in them. And you know, we think, you know, that giftings, you know, we think that the gifts of the Holy Ghost are an evidence. They are. But he's more than that. And so if we say that somebody doesn't have the Holy Ghost because they don't speak in tongues, we're speaking out of turn. Or any of the other 12 gifts, maybe not even, or not 12, 9, that are not in manifestation. How does the Holy Ghost work? These giftings will enable us, they're a gracing of the Holy Ghost for us to use and to make us better, hallelujah, and to help us along the way. But he is the Spirit. And he doesn't need anything at all to speak to you, but you responding to him. And I guarantee you, if as you continue responding, you'll begin to see some of these gifts come in operation in your life. Let them come there. Don't be afraid of them. And then they need to come to the body. Verse 2. Lord Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now see where it is now? Isn't that coming from Christ? This time, is it? Go back to the first verse. I want to show you. That's what I like this for. The faithful in the anointing of the Lord Jesus. Now go to second. And see, grace and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ. See, this comes from Jesus. And the Christ is all that he is now working in and through us. Never apart from him. Now, one is higher or lower. It's just a different functioning. It's a different dimension where it goes from being Jesus the man to Christ the Spirit man. Okay, let's go on to... Hallelujah. Let's go on to verse 12. And this word we're looking at is EIS, and it's to, into, or onto grace. Glory to God. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted us, or trusted, who first trust in Christ. Hallelujah. Go slow down a little bit. Okay, give me another scripture. Give me 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with what? With that Holy Spirit of promise. Once again, same thing. Verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption, listen to this, of the purchased possession unto the praise and to the glory, unto the praise of His glory. Glory to God. What is the earnest? Well, what is it? What do we call that? Down payment of what? Oh, eternal life. What is it? What's he call it? Hallelujah. Which is what? Holy Spirit that dwells in you. It's yours. Receive it. Take it. Don't be afraid of it. It's a down payment. And as you use it, hallelujah, it will become your payment. How many of you ever save any money? How many ever have a credit card? I don't have one in my pocket, but how many ever have a credit card? Do you ever use it? I use it all the time. What do you use it for? Purchase whatever you want, right? But what happens if you give them it and they say, you have no value. It's of no value to you because you don't have any credit. It's the same card, isn't it? But what happened? Now, don't get scared on me because this is true. This is true. As the Holy Spirit is continually deposited within you, you have a Holy Ghost credit card. And you can use it for what you want to use it for. It's the down payment of an inheritance that He has intended for you. I got to tell you something. He wants to give you more than what you think you deserve. This Holy Ghost credit card, this Holy Ghost indwelling within you, this Holy Ghost that speaks to your inner man and your subconscious mind through His Word and instructs you and gives you righteousness and gives you right character of behavior, glory to God, has the ability to change your life in every direction, not just in a little bit. But He wants you to be blessed in every way. He said, I would that you would prosper. How? In every way, soul, body, and spirit. And it cannot but do that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So go back to the slide, honey. Mighty God, I love the Word. Are you getting anything out of this? I hope so. Hope you're getting something out of it you can take home. Hope you're getting something out of it you can take on your job. Hope you're getting something out of it so when you get up in the morning, you're not going to be thinking the same as you used to think. You're not going to be turning the radio on and listening to the things that are going on in the radio that are not promoting life in abundance in any way. Because that's not who you are. That's not why you've been called. That's not the inheritance that you have. You have an inheritance that's incorruptible. That's immortal. Nothing can take it away from you. Nothing can take that away from you. Got it? Glory to God. So He wants us fully dressed in His grace. So let's go to Luke 14 real quick. Now this is going to be a little bit, this is going to be a little bit more serious. Hallelujah. And then we'll just go through this one and hallelujah. 14 verse 16. Then said He unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. We'll just start running, honey. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of ox, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, Go out quickly unto the streets and the lanes and the cities, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there was room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out unto the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now I just want to stop right there. I'm going to tell you something. If that doesn't sound like today, I don't know what it does. Now what we're talking about here is legitimate excuses, because people live in excuses to do what they want to do, and instead of being committed to what they're supposed to be committed to, an excuse has been accepted to be more than good enough. But did you consider that these that were being bidden by God, and this was the last supper of the day, that there was not going to be another meal for the day? I'm not going to give you all the implications there. You can run your mind and think about it, because the king of the house was God. And the people that should have been eating there, now get this, were more than all the wayfaring people. The sick, the lame, the blind. Did you remember reading that? And there was still what? Still room. Now we're talking now about a number that was set by those who should have been there. Pretty alarming, eh? So he said, I want you to go out and go call all the homeless. Those that are living under viaducts. Because I'm going to tell you something. If this is just a religious obligation, man, you got to quit that. This has got to be a lifestyle. I'm not doing this to entertain you. I'm doing this to encourage you, to tell you who you are in Christ, and that you have something that you should be doing every day for Him, not for yourself. I'm not getting any amens. Oh, when you go to church, you got to just... I'm going to tell you what. This should be... You should be... Can you imagine how many were eligible? Can you imagine all these eligible people that it wasn't important enough for them? Something they heard or knew or saw, and they didn't need it. They were all right with their self. You see, if anything, if we are in danger of anything by being a blessed people, it's by thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought and to take those blessings for granted. I'm finding out that He's pushing my buttons. How many of you give tithe here? Should be. Just principle giving. How many of you give to the poor? How many of you give when you have a chance to give if God says to give? Well, you don't understand, Danny. Yeah, I do. I understand very much so. And I'm learning that I love to give. Now, you can't give something you don't have. Please don't do that. I'm not telling you to do something like that. But I am telling you because God will start working on you. I see them little boxes at these fast food restaurants that are money for the needy. I'm learning how to drop money in those boxes. Well, you don't know something. I don't really care. That is the excuse for just being stingy and selfish. You can take your change and drop it in there. I'm not responsible for what other people do, but I am responsible for what God tells me to do. As we do that, I'm going to tell you something. The blessings are so great. They just keep coming in from all over. It's just amazing. Because that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to be like He is. He doesn't have an attitude about anybody. He wants them to know that there is more than enough in this kingdom of God for everyone. And that as we give our little part, and believe me, I don't give a lot or whatever God says. I just give what He says. Because I don't have a lot. But whatever He says to give, that's what I do. And it'll always be a challenge. Because sometimes, you know, maybe that cup of coffee you're going to have. But it's a test. And then when you do it, you get so blessed. You get so blessed. He wants to bless you more. Let's stand. I love the Lord. How many love God?